الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن في اختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. In one verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He states that in the alternation of the night and the day, that there are signs. Yani, there's a message there. It's not one message, but there's several messages. إِنَّ فِي اخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. It's not for everyone. It's not for every Tom, Dick, and Harry. It's for those people who truly have intellect. If you're really smart, you'll get it. So what does that mean? Does that mean that you have to do a PhD in astronomy to get it? Does that mean that you have to be an astrophysicist from Berkeley to get it? I mean, what does it mean to be ulul albab? Because many of the people who are sitting here listening to this, whether online or in present, right, many of us are highly educated. But we've lived 30, 40, 50 years of our life. We never got any message from the changing of the night and day, except the fact that it made us older. So why is it that we experience this, but we don't get anything out of it? And actually the answer comes right afterwards. Because the verse right after, Al-Qur'an yufassiru ba'duha ba'd, and the Qur'an, part of it explains the next. And it's so amazing how the nazam of the Qur'an, like every verse is connected. And this is something that sometimes the disbelievers don't get. You look at some Orientalist literature, they don't understand why the Qur'an is so captivating. Because they feel that it is not coherent. It goes from one subject to another subject to another subject, almost abruptly. And they don't understand the subtlety of those transitions. In fact, ulama have dedicated their own, I mean, you could say tremendous amount of time just to discovering what are the transitions, the subtle bridges that connect one ayah to another. So over here, right after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, He says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا عَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. That there's two aspects. Those people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting, lying on their side, meaning all in the time they're in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and they are thoughtful. They're not blind. They don't live a blind existence. That they have, their mind is alive. I mean, many of us, we spend so much time in our careers, building ourselves, you know, investing in academics, writing papers, all of these type of things. But sometimes it almost feels like we're not thinking. Right? It's like we turn on our brains when we go to work, and after work we turn off our brains, and it's just about, and people literally, when they come home, they turn on the TV because they say, I need to cool down, right? I need to calm down. They're just dumbing themselves down, because it's like the brain goes off just to do a certain activity, and then you turn it off, and then that's the rest of life. We're not alive. We don't even think about what we say and how we say it. I mean, you look at the Arabs. One of the things that was amazing about the Arabs is when they spoke, it was active. In fact, the Arabic language, you can't actually enunciate it and speak it unless you really know what's going on, right? Because it's an inflected language. Where there's a fatha, Where is there a Dhamma? Where is there a Kasra? And every single word is influenced by what's happening in the language. And you can't. That's why if you open up original Arabic text, there's no Dhamma, Fatha, Kasra. And you're like, how do I read this? You have to know what's going on. Your mind has to come alive. And so this was something which was characteristic of them. So two things. People who are constantly in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani they have some ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. That brings the heart alive. And number two, that when the mind is actually active about life, not active you're not intelligent in a passive sense, but you're actually living life, your eyes are wide open. You're taking in what's happening around you, analyzing that, you're engaged in your existence. When both of those things come together, then something is born, what we call ma'arif. Meaning a person, the realities of the universe start opening up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have people, for example, who might be very intellectually active. Philosophers tend to be, right, intellectually active. Poets tend to generally be intellectually active. They don't have that ta'alluq billah aspect. And on the other side, you have some people who are very engaged in their ibadah, but they're sometimes lacking this active, eyes wide open, attitude to life. So if you have both of these, then certain ma'arif are opened. And so this particular verse, inna fi ikhtilafi al-layli wal-nahar, this was just a prelude to what we're going to talk about, that the alternation of the night and the day. Look, on the surface of it, is very clear that this is something which speaks to the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sheer, immense, unimaginable power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you can take a ball, right, which we call the earth, which is bigger than any one of us, and spin it like it's a basketball. And spin it with such preciseness. If you had a wheel, right, we take our car every so often to get it rotated, right, to get it aligned, because it just can't keep on, you know, on track. The earth is spinning at, 22,000 miles per hour? And you don't feel it. Who's aligning it? Who's rotating it? And it's revolving around the earth, around the sun, with such precision that we can actually create calendars based on that mathematical precision. Ajib. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made His qudra in such a way that it has such precision, it never happens that you have night, night, day. Or day, day, night. It's always one night, it's only one day. And each day and the portion of each night is measured in such a way that if we were to try to measure it, we could not measure it. And it repeats every single year with, again, mathematical and physical precision. That only can create a person to say Subhanallah. So while this is one meaning. But there is some other lessons that we can take when you start thinking about the days and the night. And actually, I was speaking to her earlier this week, I don't know, it was maybe a couple of days ago, and she mentioned something, maybe it was just yesterday or so, the day before. And she said that, you know, this is such an amazing quote from Ali radiallahu anhu. So now, and it's actually when she told me that I just thought to myself, that's what I'm going to talk about on Sunday. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he said that, do not let your difficulties fill you with anxiety. Do not let your difficulties fill you with anxiety. After all, it is only in the darkest night that the stars shine more brightly. Ajee. Do not let your difficulties fill you with anxiety. For only it is in the darkest night that the stars shine more brightly. And it's so true. Because it's only when times are bad that we're given the chance to rise above ourselves. To show our true mettle. To show our true colors. To exemplify stories and character that can become a source of inspiration for people to come. Because, you know, when life is normal and we live normally, there's nothing spectacular about that. There's nothing extraordinary about that. There's nothing captivating about that. Greatness happens and comes through adversity. And you look at the story of any great individual. You look at the story of any great man. You look at the story of any great woman. The thing that defines their greatness is their struggle, is their sacrifice, is their rising above the situations around them. And that's what captivates our hearts. That's what captivates our minds. We're like, wow, how did they do that? Even if they're not Muslim. Even if they're not Muslim. I remember being a kid and reading about, Helen Keller. And, you know, a person who's, you know, she's blind and she's never seen. She can't hear anything. She doesn't have any world. And how she, you know, surmounted that and wrote such pieces of work that, you know, from a person who has a affinity towards literature, you say, ajib, right? Like, how could she come up with something like that? It's inspiring. It's inspiring. If you look at the life of Rasulullah, his entire life was filled with adversity. Where was the comfort in his life? Where was the comfort in his life? You look at the entire seerah, right? I've read the entire seerah from multiple sources. I was just looking back at it. It's like, when did he just take it easy? When did he just relax? You know, hardly you will find, you'll find some rare moments, like he's racing with Aisha radiallahu anha in the desert. He has some good moments with his wife. But his life, by and large, the entire thing was full of adversity. Sleeping on the floor, sleeping on a mat, just leaving, you know, marks on his back, crying in the nights. He's sacrificing his sleep. He's sacrificing his wealth. He's crying for the ummah. He's fighting the battles for the sake of the deen. He's, you know, giving da'wah and people are spitting it in his face. He's eating and you look at the entire story was a story of sacrifice. It's like, he lived his life. In fact, you know, one person when he said something to Rasulullah, and the words are just, you know, sticking in my mind right now. He said, Mali walid dunya. What is for me in this dunya? Like, what relation do we have? What relationship do we have? I was just having this conversation with my wife, I think it was yesterday. It's like, that was the ajeeb thing about, I was just telling her, I'm not able to, I can't live like Rasulullah. I'm just not there spiritually. But the fact that you look at his life, because she's like, well, that's the ideal. Like, because she's reading all of this, right, in the hadith, and she's doing her Dawri hadith. She's like, look, that's the ideal. I'm like, I'm just not ready spiritually to live like that, because his entire life is like he owned nothing. It was like a person that he happened to be in the dunya, but it's just like he happened to be here. He had his mind, his heart, his goal, his life had nothing to do with the dunya. That's why it was easy for him to give away and not worry for the next day. Because it happened, like he just happened to be here like a traveler. He was just going somewhere else. He didn't have food for the next day, no problem. 3 months, chula's not, you know, the stuff is not burning in his house, no problem. His life was filled with adversity. Now, if you look at the adversity in his life, there were certain moments that were really prominent though. Certain moments are really hard. Can you imagine when he was a child? He's going with his mom to visit his mom's family. He's on the way. He's 6 years old. He's younger than these young girls sitting here. 6 years old. And on the way back, his mom dies. And he's just left with the slave girl that's with there. She's also a girl herself. Your dad is already gone. The only one you had left in the world is mom. He wasn't a Nabi. He had no wahi at this time. He is a six-year-old child, for God's sake. You're in the middle of your desert, and your mom passes away. That hurts. He made it through. He still learned how to smile. In quick succession, the two people who are left in the world for you, your pillars, Abu Talib, passes away. And he passes away without iman. Stake in your heart. in quick succession, his one supporter that he loved so much, the first person who brought iman, Khadija radiallahu anh, also passes away. It was the valley of difficulty in year of difficulty. He goes to Ta'if and they stone him. He goes trying to bring them to the deen because he cared about them, and they meet him with stones. He's fighting on the battle of Uhud, and they break his teeth. He's in the middle of battle and everyone disperses around them, and he's calling, please come back. I mean, you look at time after, I mean, there's highlights in the seerah where times were just really tough. Really tough. Look at, for example, when the wahi stopped. First of all, look, imagine you're sitting in the middle, you know you're just seeking Allah. You know there is an Allah. You go and you're making ibadah in a cave. You're doing tahannuth in a cave. No one's taught you how to do ibadah. Just some type of inspiration. He's doing tahannuth in the cave. And then you have this experience where this being of light comes to you. Right? There's no precedent. It's not like he had read the Bible and he knew the Judaic scripture. I mean, he was just a desert child. An orphan child, for God's sake, who just loved Allah. Now this happens, and he's saying, Iqra. He says, Ma'ana biqari. And he's saying, Iqra. And he says, Ma'ana biqari. And he's pressing him, and these spiritual transfers are occurring. And he comes home, and he's scared. Because he just doesn't know what's going on. You don't know whether you should believe yourself. How do you know you're not hallucinating? I mean, for us, like, we sit here and we see the deen because it's been handed to us, it's complete. You're like, of course, Islam, it makes sense. Of course, there's Allah, there's Rasul, everything is a given. At that time, nothing was a given. It was just a new experience that was happening to him. So he's coming back, and he's shaken up. Zammiluni, zammiluni. That was hard. And it was even hard that you're doubting yourself, or maybe not doubting yourself, you're going through this very difficult time, and the wahi completely stops. So you're like, is this really just me? I mean, what's going on? And then the people that you're calling to the deen, or the people around you, then they start giving you ta'na. They make sardonic comments. They make sarcastic comments. That, oh, you know your God, he hates you. That's a tough word. The one person that you love, the one being that you love the most, they're telling him that Allah hates you. They're saying, yeah, Allah, you know, there's Allah that you love so much. Where is he now? Where is your Allah now? He's forsaken you. And you think that this doesn't hurt, but I know how much it hurts. I had a student, you know, one time, here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him close to the deen, and he changed his life so much, subhanAllah. But he was poor. And his family, you know, mashallah, one person's a cardiologist, they're rich, they're this. And this person's trying to get into residency, he can't get into residency and this and that, but he's not trying to hold on to the sharia, holding on to the sunnah. He grew out his beard, he wears a topi, you know, he's trying to be, hold on to what sunnah he can. And so people in his you know, family, one of them, they say that, you know, why do you do all this stuff? Right? You don't take interest. No, look at us, we're rich, we take interest, we do all this. Why are you living like this? We'll see how your Allah provides for you. We'll see. You're several years out of a residency. We'll see how your Allah provides for you. It hurts. It hurts bad. So now you think about that. This was just a small comment. The Quraysh are telling Rasulullah says, look at Umm Jamil, Abu Lahab's wife. You know what she said to him? He was sick, so 2-3 days he couldn't get up for tahajjud. And so she tells him, you know this this demon that kept on visiting you? The shaitan, no, aapka shaitan nikal gaya. He said, you know, the shaitan that used to keep on coming to you, oh, it's a good thing he stopped coming. Ooh, it hurt. It hurt. In this period of fatah, Rasulullah was hurting inside. But what did he do? In all of these situations, he stuck it through. And because he stuck it through, that's how he shone like a star. So much so, he shined so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the fatra, what was the wahi? Wadduha. You've been living in a night, right? Now by the day, I swear to you. By the breaking light. It was so timely. It's so appropriate. I mean, I was looking in multiple tafsirs, actually, you know, like, what is the meaning of what Baha'i? And many of them don't go into it. And actually, I didn't even realize until I just said it right now. I was like, wow, how appropriate that was, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the day, because he was going through a moment of the night. And then how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even describes the night. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. And the night, as it, some people say, in one translation comes, as it is still. In Tafsir Ibn Kathir, as it prevails, as it settles, as it envelopes. And all of these things apply to when people are in that's the nature of the night. When you're in a difficult time, I'll tell you, it seems like forever. It's still. It's like time is standing still. I remember I was going through a difficult time one time. I spoke to my teacher and I was like, I was ready to give up. I was like, I can't do this, you know, type of thing. And he said, you know, you have to finish what you started. You have to finish what you started, even though every day will seem like a month. And it was like that. I mean, every day seemed like a month, but you just have to stick in there. And you just got to do it. So one thing is the night as it's still. And sajda is when it envelops. And you know when times are rough, when you're in difficulty, it looks like it's all around you. It looks like there's no, you look to the right, musibat. You look to the left, there's musibat. You look up, there's musibat. You look down, there's musibat. Everywhere is musibat. Everywhere there's musibat. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. But understand that when you're in that situation, right, when time stands still, when night is all around you, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Allah has not left you and He doesn't hate you. When I thought that, I was like, subhanAllah, like when we go through a hard time, it's not because Allah doesn't like us. It's not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates us. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgot about us. Ajeeb. And because that's how people start thinking. When you get into a tough time, one of the worst things that people do is they start letting go of Allah. Because the one thing that's going to get you out of that situation, that has any hope to get you to the light of day, people start letting go of that. They start letting go of their dhikr. They start letting go of their salat. Because they say, what? I'm in difficulty. You want to get through your difficulty, you have to grab onto Allah. And that's the very thing that is the solution. People start letting go. It's ajeeb. It's the paradox. It's an ironic human reaction. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't abandoned the ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't hate the ummah. He hasn't forgotten the ummah. But when times are dark, this is our time to shine. And if we can shine, وَلَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Then Allah will give you in such a way that you will surely be happy. In Tafsir Ibn Kathir, it says that for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's 1 million palaces which are waiting for him. The person who used to sleep in such a place that he had to move Aisha radiallahu anh when he's going to sajda, 1 million palaces waiting for him. And that's nothing for, I mean, Rasulullah says, maqam in firdaus is Allah knows. But just to give us an idea, وَلَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ. Allah will surely give fatarda and you will love it. So what does it mean to shine like a star? Sometimes when times are hard, sometimes people feel like, you know, like, what do I need to do? Do I need to do extra ibadah? I need to make more nafil? Because you just don't have it in you. Can I tell you something? This is the beauty of it. You don't have to do something special. You just got to make it through. It's ajeeb. It's so easy. You just have to do a sabr. You just have to hold on. That's the nature when times are difficult and tough. You just want to let go. You just want to let go. And when you want to let go, if you hold on, that's all you have to do. Just hold on a little bit longer. Right? As I think Rudyard Kipling said, fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run. You're out of breath. You know, like, I would tell my one of my teachers, like, when my family's away, I feel like I've been holding my breath away for like 2.5 years. It's like the last moments when you're holding the breath, that's the hardest to hold your breath, right? Because you're just pushing yourself. You know, you're just pushing yourself. It does not like it gets easier. That's how it is. You don't have to do something special. Just suffer. Istiqamah. You stand firm on what Allah wants. And Rasulullah, he kept his adab. Look at, for example, in Ta'if. They stone him. And when he's making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? إِلَى مَنْ تَكِلْنِي, who are you going to relinquish me to? So on and so forth. And then he recants, not recants, but then he says, Ya Allah, if you're pleased with me, then I don't care. It doesn't matter how bad things are around me, just you be happy with me. That adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that istiqama, that sabr that he had, sabr to live your entire life without any upgrades. Sabr with your entire life without losing focus on what you have to. Sabr with your entire life being ready to sacrifice for everything for the sake of Allah. Right? I mean, I've seen my teacher when he charges students with, he gives them khilafah, he takes such a heavy bay'ah from them that no, kamine dunya se aap muh pher denge, that no, you will turn your face away from the entire dunya, and that you will only do the work of the deen. It is above your family. It is above your children. It is above your comfort. It is above your sleep. It is above every, like, I mean, I'm like, you're taking that type of bay'ah to do work of the deen like that? I mean, the first time I ever saw that, like, I saw one of the students who was getting it, he was saying, just no, I just don't give it to me. But it's like, you know, you could, I mean, Sheikh Coker, you were here, he was one of the khulafa. When he said that, you know, he said when he was, you know, his teacher was going to make him a khalifa, he said, no, I can't. He said, I'm nothing, I can't do this, you can't do this. And he's like, finally his teacher said, Coker sahab, my dera nahi hui, hukum diye gayi hai. This is like a hukum that I have, that this I have to do this, you know, because the sheikh will make istikhara, he'll seek, you know, sometimes he's ilham, whatever. He said, this is serious. And so, like, when I see that, I mean, it's hard. For whoever's in that situation, it's hard. Like, you have to give up your entire life. And that's what Rasulullah did. I mean, everyone else falls short, you know, in some way or another. Like, there's the ideal, like, yeah, you're supposed to be like that, and you always feel guilty that I'm not fulfilling that. But Rasulullah did it. نَصَحْتَ الْأُمَّةِ وَكَشَفَ الْغُمَّةِ وَأَدَّى الْأَمَانَةِ وَأَدَّى الرِّسَالَةِ. I mean, everything, perfection. He told 124,000 people, you bear witness that I've conveyed the amana, I've conveyed the risala. And everyone did. Ajib. So that's the first thing, is that's how you shine. When times are tough, just hold on. Whether it's in deen, it's in dunya, whatever it is. Whatever it is. And understand that, you know, if a person's in day, it doesn't mean that night can't come tomorrow. And if there's night today, then that's actually the second lesson, right? So that was the first lesson, that the night, being the dark night, allows us to shine. The second lesson that comes from the changing of the night and the day is, no matter how bad things ever seem around you, it's not permanent. And we lose sight of that. It's not going to be forever. The children in Syria, we feel terribly for them. But you know what? It's not forever. Women who have been violated across the world, we feel terribly for them. But no matter how bad and difficult and how dark that time is, it's not permanent. No matter what happens to us, it's not permanent. Right? Nothing is permanent. Because after every night, there is day. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And the lughawi tahqiq, because of, you know, what's ma'rifah and nakira over here, that al-usr comes with ma'rifah, right? It's definite form, the definitive article. That means that it's the same usr. But then there's yusr, which is indefinite, it's nakira. It doesn't have a definitive article with it, means that there's two different eases. So with every one difficulty, there are two eases. Always gets better. And if you're living a good time right now, you can think back some time when life was very dark. And you thought that, oh, you know, I'll never smile again. You're smiling today. You're smiling today. We forget about those times. Right? Allah save us from those times, but we forget about that. Right? We've had hard times in our relationships. Parents, wives, children. We've had times with financial difficulties. We've had problems with our health. I can remember, just look back in my life, I just think, like, I've almost lost my wife, I've been in car accidents, I've been in, like, you know, halfway across the world, there's, like, you know, I've been so sick at times that I wasn't even had enough strength to get up and get medicine, and there was no one around, I mean, there was no one I would felt comfortable asking. mean, like you look back, there's times we forget. Because good times make you forget. And so the idea is that we should never lose hope. When times are tough, let them be rough. إِنَّ فِي اخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. You'll get better. Third lesson is النهار مقدر والليل مقدر. That the day is measured and the night is measured. It's actually a very important point, and it's sort of a deep point if you think about it. The how long the light will last is set. No matter what you do, you can't make the dawn come 1 second earlier, and you can't delay it 1 second. The dawn will come when the dawn will come. We have absolutely no control over that. But usually when people are in difficulty, when people are in their night, their whole effort goes not in getting through the night, but trying to remove it. Right? They're just like, how do I make this better? And it's just, they get so caught up in it. Not to say that you should, you know, لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ, that you should not do zulm and you should not be oppressed. And not to say that you should enjoy, you know, like difficult times. That's not the idea. You should solve your problems. But the idea is that people lose focus of deen, they lose focus on Allah, and it's all about how do I get this to end, when the thing that they're trying to change oftentimes is not a variable, it's a constant. Person, for example, has to take their USMLE, and then you have to study 8 or 10 hours a day. You have to take the exam. It's a constant. Sitting and crying about it, sitting and complaining about it, trying to engage in unhealthy behaviors, like saying, oh, I study 8 or 10 hours, now I need to see a movie to calm down. You know, all of these type of things, it doesn't change the fact that you still have to take the USMLE. And you look at most of the things, difficulties that we have in our life, many of the difficulties we have, they're not variables, they're constants. For some people, their night is their spouse. I mean, sad to say, right? Their difficulty is their spouse. And they're struggling with it. For some sisters, their night is their in-laws. They love their husband to death, but they hate their mother-in-law. But guess what? You can't make her go away. She's your husband's wife. I mean, your husband's mom. She's there to stay. As long as, you know, Allah has given you life and given her life. And she's a part of his life. You can't wish her away. You can't whisk your husband away because it's his mom. And as long as a person fights that variable, it just leads to frustration. Because the night will last as long as the night will last. That's it. If that's your wife, that's your wife. That's your husband and he's not thoughtful, he's not thoughtful. Right? Whatever your night is, right? If you have a quote-unquote this type of job, or you know, I have this much financial situation, whatever you have, generally it's sort of a set thing. And sometimes we get so caught on trying to remove it, and we get distracted from taking benefit from that situation. Because you know, every difficulty is not only bad. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. We have made the night a clothing for you. Night is not only difficulty. Night is also for rest. Night is a time where sometimes a person can energize themselves, train themselves, grow, mature in such a way that when they come to the day sees what the night has raised. So the day can see what the sun of the night is. We grow through our difficulties. You cannot be as deep of a person, as meaningful of a person, as dynamic of a person until you go through that experience. So benefit from that. It's not going away, right? Your wife is not going away. Your child who doesn't listen to you is not going away. Those things are not going to go away. But that's our choice. That's our chance to become better. That which does not kill you only makes us stronger. So same thing. We have to benefit from that. That we lose the lesson in the night. That was the third lesson. The fourth lesson is if there was no night, then a person is not able to appreciate the day. I'll stop at 5. If there's no night, Like my teacher, like Sheikh Zulfikar, he sat with my, and I'm talking about Ma'arif, I'm just having to talk about night and day today. But he said that, like Sheikh Hussein said, I sat with Hazarji one time, and he gave us a 1 hour talk on trees. Different lessons. It's not like as involved as this, right? This is a prepared talk. It was just extemporaneous. And he started giving one lesson after one lesson after one lesson from a tree. I'm like, you stare at a tree. I'm like, I'm waiting for a lesson to come. How come it's not coming? I don't get it. Like, it's just a tree. But and then he would tell us, okay, this and this. I was like, wow, you know, that's so deep. Like one lesson, for example, like you should be like a tree in the sense that people throw stones in it and it gives back its fruit. Ajib, you know, like there's just so many things that, and we're not talking about trees today. We're just talking about night and day. So, okay, fourth lesson is that if there's no night, you don't appreciate the day. And I'll tell you that, you know, when I came to Tampa, I was so happy because I got out of the Chicago cold, right? But after a while, when every day is 70 and sunny, it gets boring. And then when it became cold and you got to wear a sweater, it felt good. You're like, I got to wear a sweater. You miss wearing a sweater, right? I mean, like, people like change. I mean, I don't want it to become negative 26 like it is in Chicago right now, but a little bit of, 45 feels so good once in a while, right? 45 feels good once in a while. This is how human beings are. If everything is always good, right, we aren't really able to appreciate it. Sometimes when that's taken away, we're like, wow. Like now, I mean, I always took my wife for granted. When she's not here, it's like I value, like when I plan my tickets, you're like, you're counting for hours. Like I get 6 more hours with my family. Counting for hours. When you had it, right, you're like, you're wasting time. You're like, okay, I need to get my work done. How do I carve out my own time? But when you lose them, you're like, every hour is different. No, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them, give us a life and they come back, I can imagine how valuable every minute my children is. Because you have them one time and you lose them. Person who's lost one parent, then they know that how much they need to value the parent they still have. All of these things that we go through, when you go through a difficulty and then you get into a good time, the people, for example, who've never tasted poverty, and then just come to riches, they can't appreciate their comforts the same way as the person who's gone into the difficult times. Like people who are old money, they don't really enjoy money, and they don't enjoy the comforts of that the same way as the person who really, unki kamaike, mehnat se, through their blood, sweat and tears, they build themselves up, and then they come and they're able to buy something nice for their wife. The feeling they get when they bring that home is very different. There's value behind it. They say in Urdu, like, qadr. There's some qadr. You get qadr from your difficulties. It gives you perspective, number one. And number two, it saves a person from boredom. And I'll tell you, in some ways, boredom is death. People like change. People need change. If things are always just running smooth, it almost becomes boring. People who have very high-paying jobs, but it becomes automatic, they're not satisfied in their jobs. And then people say, other people say, you have a dream job, you're making 3 times more than I would ever make it, but the person doesn't have what they call a job satisfaction. The problem is not job satisfaction, the problem is they don't have life satisfaction because it's become boring. Right? Which actually brings to the fifth lesson. And that is that this vacillation between night and day is a key factor to happiness. Meaning having good times and bad times. في السراء والضراء. In good times and bad times, it going up and down is a key factor actually to happiness. Why is that? Because difficulty, there's different ways you can look at it. You can look at difficulty as difficulty, but you can also look at it as a challenge. I mean, when I went to marriage counseling with Sheikh Amin before I got married, it was very early, my early 20s, maybe 20 years old or something. He said one thing that really stuck with me. He said that look at every basically difficulty in your marriage, not as an obstacle, but as a challenge. Meaning anything that happens, right, your wife says something, things don't go through, don't look at it as a bad thing, but look at it as a challenge. And it was so empowering for me. When a person is faced with adversity, that's a challenge. And challenge is the key to happiness in life. An impotent life is no life at all. It's a wasted life. It's a life of a corpse. A person who is active, who is alive, there has to be nashat, there has to be energy, there has to be dynamism, and that requires movement. And anytime you know through physical laws there is movement, we don't live in ideal systems, there's friction. If you're going to move, there will be friction. And that movement against friction and being able to surmount that friction, that kinetic friction, that's what gives people happiness in life. When you look at people who actually thought, who really analyze this, right? I mean, who really analyze what is the key to happiness. They say, you know, having nice cars doesn't make people happy. Having big houses doesn't make people happy. I mean, people have really studied this. Like, how do you get down to happiness? And one of the conclusions they say is one of the things that makes people happy is when they commit themselves to a goal that's ongoing and seek out that goal. And that's one of the reasons that Islam will always keep you happy. Because the goal we put in front of us is Allah. The goal we put in front of us is Jannah. It doesn't end when you become CEO, right? I mean, you look at anyone who's been chasing a certain thing in their life, in their career, when they get there, they look around and they're like, I'm here, now what? There's such a weird feeling, like, now what? And I remember talking about Sheikh Hussein, like, he said, so many other people, like, we were just talking about something, he's like, no, so many, about our children, I said that, you know, they're probably going to be in, like, the Islamic line. They might not, you know, necessarily become physicians or lawyers. Might become a mufti and just, you know, do deenka work. And he said, that's fine. He said, you know, like, so many people are going after what we have. You know, they want to be associate professor at top universities, this and that. It's like, we're there. It's empty. I mean, when you're there, it's like, what is there? It's nothing. I mean, what is there to life? So that's the idea that in Islam, that's why Islam is always fulfilling, because it always keeps us growing. It always challenges to be better. Because Allah is infinite, and so the challenge is infinite. Everything in the dunya is finite, so the challenge is finite. So anyway, the main take-home point from that last one is that our difficult times provide us with the challenge, with the idea to challenge ourselves. And so in many ways, you know, when you look at everything in total, there's so many lessons to be taken, right, from the night. So when it becomes night, these are chances to remind ourselves of so many things. And when we're in difficulty, these are time to derive strength from these lessons that we get from just a simple thing like the alternation of the night and day. وَأَخْرُ دَعْوَنَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ